Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Lance, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter in the house today on this Tuesday, and we're going to welcome in from the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000, my college buddy, Mark Silverman. Mark, how are you today, buddy?
Ron, what's going on? Always good to hear from you.
Absolutely, and right before we get to anything pertinent to the world of sports, what is this deal with half-price beer at Wrigley? Fill me in.
That's pertinent, isn't it? Very pertinent. I remember you at college. That's pertinent. it's not really half price beer. What they're doing is every Tuesday now in the bleachers, because, you know, these bleacher tickets used to sell themselves, but because of the economy, because of the Cubs in the last couple of years, and, you know, they're not drawing them through the turnstiles like they were 2-3 years ago. They've got to throw these enticements at fans. And the Tuesday special, if you buy tickets in the bleachers, and I read the fine print in the ad as well, that they are offering them in some places in the main concourse, is $3 beers on Tuesday. Mm. And that's rare. I mean, a beer at Wrigley for 16 ounces is like $7, or at least $7.
Wow.
So these are for 12-ounce beers, and they're $3. I find it interesting. I'm going to have a couple beers at the Bulls game tonight. But I find it interesting that, like, the Cubs want to shed the beer garden image that only people go to drink beer and soak up the sun. And they also, you know, they've had their problems in the bleachers,
sure,
with Shane Victorino getting a beer poured on them. So I was surprised when I read this that they're encouraging, you know, people to come for the beer. And it was very un-Cubs-like in the last 5 years, but I guess they got to sell some tickets.
I was going to say, like it or not, it's probably a business decision. Well, Mark, surely it won't be tough to get people through there and into the seats tonight as the Cardinals hit town, right?
No, I think you'll be surprised. You know, Lon, I'll be really shocked if it's a sellout.
Wow.
You know, the Cubs on Mother's Day, they sold only 31,000 seats for a Sunday afternoon game against the Reds, a division rival. I mean, you know, they're 4,000 per game off of last year's attendance, and last year's attendance was down because they were so bad. So, you know, it's a nice day here. It's finally in the 80s for the first time, and, yeah, the Cardinals are in town. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a decent number. A sellout would surprise me, especially against the Bulls tonight.
Talking with Mark Silverman, co-host of the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000. Mark, it's Jeremy. And what does it say about the state of the Cubs and the state of the Ricketts ownership of this team that they have to do these half-price days they might not draw for a St. Louis Cardinals game?
Yeah, I mean, and the other part of the whole bleacher equation, Jeremy, was that if you go online on the Cubs site and you enter the word college, I read this today in an email that our listeners sent, and you buy bleacher seats, it's supposed to be a, quote, college special, you'll get bleacher tickets for half price.
Wow.
And they don't even check to see if you're a college student, so all you have to do is enter that word, or at least that was working until it was publicized today. But, no, it says a lot about the Cubs. I mean, listen, there's a lot of factors that go into it. A lot of people will try to convince me that just the economy is so bad and that we've had such a bad April weather-wise, and it was bad. It rained almost every day. But still, you know, I'm a diehard Cubs fan, and I haven't paid attention. The Bears went into late January into the NFC Championship game, and hopefully the Bulls have a long run depending on what they do today. So I don't think there's the buzz for the Cubs they've had recently. You know, Ricketts hasn't spent the money. You know, he wants to put the money into the team first, into Wrigley Field, instead of putting it in a payroll. He inherited a large payroll. He's kept that payroll, but he hasn't really gone out and added anything to it. They're a mediocre team right now. They're 500, and when the bar was raised in 03, when they went to the NLCS and they were five outs away, then when they win divisions in 07 and 08 and they get swept both years, you know, once they start becoming 500 team and a sub-500 team, you know, people turn away from baseball.
Well, Mark, you'd think they get up for this series. At least, even if they don't go to the game, they'll watch it, at least pay attention to it because of this Cardinals-Cubs thing. And then Ryan Terrio adds to this mix with what he said. He's finally on the right side of the rivalry. And you guys helped incite this rivalry a little bit when he joined your show, huh?
Those were both on our shows, yeah. That was this winter when he said that he's on the right side. And Terrio's a fun guy. And he, you know, when he's on the air, you know, he jokes around, and I was surprised that a lot of Cubs took it that way. I mean, I think all he was doing was trying to endear himself to Cubs fans. And then yesterday when we had him on, you know, we always joke, and I've joked about it on your show, we always joke about Cardinals fans and their jean shorts and everything like that. And Terrio added to it when we said, yeah, we said, have you kind of molded into the Cardinal Nation wearing your tank top and jean shorts? And then he added his Timberland boots.
Wow.
So, and he laughed. It was a joke, and I guess the St. Louis Post-Dispatch picked it up today in one of their blog items. So I feel bad for Terrio because now he's not going to want to come on, but it's not like we said these things. But listen, I'm a Cubs fan, and when he said he was on the right side of the rivalry, I knew he was joking around then and just trying to poke some good fun at his old teammates. And this whole thing, you know, listen, if you take these fan things too seriously, you're probably looking in the mirror.
Right. Well, I had to check Tay.
Yeah, I know. I heard
shorts, but they aren't the jean variety, so he's all right.
I mean, if that's the worst thing someone says about your fan base, that you wear jean shorts, I mean, give me a break.
That's a good point. Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. I mean, there have been some great Cardinals-Cubs games at Wrigley Field. Probably the most memorable game that I can remember was not a good thing for the Cardinals. It was actually a day that Willie McGee hit for the cycle. However, a guy by the name of Ryan Sandberg just happened to hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth and a home run in the bottom of the tenth off Bruce Sutter, and the Cubs won the game. Do you have any special memories from this Cardinals-Cubs series?
I have a ton, yeah. I mean, everyone remembers. It's known as the Sandberg game, 1984 in June. And it really put the Cubs on the map when they came out of nowhere to win the National League East that year. You know, probably the best series for me, Cubs-Cardinals. I was at their... First, I was at the clinching game. I think it was in 08 when the Cubs clinched against the Cardinals. And I think Jim Edmonds actually caught the last fly ball
for the
Cubs. But the series to me that I remember most was 03 when it was really, really heated with Dusty against Tony La Russa, and they kept jawing back and forth. And it was a five-game series because of a makeup game at Wrigley Field. And they played a day-night doubleheader. And the day game went forever, went extra innings. And I think... So Taguchi made an unbelievable catch at the wall to keep the game going for the Cardinals, and the Cubs eventually won in extra innings. They lost the nightcap, but in all, the Cubs won four out of five games, and that kind of vaulted them to the division in 2003, then the closest they've ever come in my lifetime to going to a World Series. So the five games late in the year in 2003, probably my most memorable Cubs-Cardinals series.
That's Mark Silverman of the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000 Chicago. And it's amazing, Mark, that we've talked this long for baseball already, because I know Chicago's all about basketball right now. Game five tonight between the Bulls and the Hawks. What do you think? Are you still confident in the Bulls?
I'm confident, but I'm nervous. I mean, I think that's just natural in me, too, because I am a Cubs fan, so I walk around in life just nervous in general. But, yeah, I mean, the Atlanta Hawks have done a lot better than I thought in these playoffs. I had Orlando winning and winning easily against Atlanta in the first round, and they really proved me wrong. And in game one, it was one of those games when Atlanta won that, you know, we looked at it, well, Joe Johnson and Jamal Crawford hit every single shot, and they were all tough shots. They're all three-pointers. So after the Bulls won game two, and then they destroyed them in game three, I really thought that they were just going to able to D them up on the perimeter and finish them out in four straight after they lost that first one. But, you know, it was very concerning watching the last 5 minutes of game four because it was Derrick Rose and nobody else. Yeah. And I'm Derrick Rose's biggest fan. I like give the ball to Derrick Rose and get out of the way because he's as fast off the dribble as anybody. He's the best finisher in the NBA, but the Bulls just have had no secondary scoring option. So going into tonight's game, you know, they got to get on them quick because Atlanta's a front-running team. They've got a lot of confidence right now, and if they let them hang around, they've got enough scorers to win this game.
And, Mark, I just felt like last game with the way Carlos Boozer was playing, they should have ran a few sets for him and at least got Rose to work in that way because it seemed like they were getting too predictable for the Rose attack the rim offense over and over again.
There's no doubt. I mean, listen, he had a really good third quarter. It was Carlos Boozer's best quarter in a long time. And it's a good point you bring up that they could have gone to him and he barely touched the ball. I still think that out of all options, if Derrick Rose has the ball in his hands and he's going to the rim. And he had a really good start of the fourth quarter, and he had a lot of good looks late in the fourth. He just missed them, and he missed a lot of layups. But I'm with you. I mean, they're going to need Boozer to score another 18. They're going to need Luol Deng to score a little bit more. He's been so consumed with trying to stop Joe Johnson. He's been a little bit tired on the offensive side. They need Noah to score off the fast break and with offensive rebounds. And they're going to need Kyle Korver to hit an outside shot. He went 1-for-9 or in the last game, and 1-for-8, I think it was, in game two, or vice versa, one of those. So he's had two really bad shooting games. They need those guys to step up and help Rose tonight.
Mark Silverman, Waddle and Sylvie Show, ESPN 1000. Mark, I can't thank you enough. Always appreciate you coming on. It's always fun to chat with you. And have fun tonight at that Bulls game.
I will. And don't forget your Timberlands when you watch the Cardinals.
Mark, by the way, before you leave, I just wanted to let you know that Mark Twain... still alive the last time the Cubs won a World Series.
Yeah, I know. It's pathetic. Believe me, I'll be the first to rip my own team. It's pathetic. And I don't think they'll ever win in my lifetime.
Oh,
so.
Now you think?
I don't think I'll ever see a World Series championship.
Oh, it's terrible. Cubs. Mark Silverman, thanks, buddy.
All right, boys.
See you. I'll talk to you soon. Mark, so I had to throw that in. Oh, if he's going to rip on my boots.
I laid back on him. I was just going to say 2005 and leave it at there. That's okay. And then you could have said 06.
06.
And then you could have put in about five other ones.
Isn't
that
terrible? I do have my red shoes on. I forgot about that. I had to check. You did look to see if I had jean shorts.
I really looked around the computer.
Listen, when Silverman and I were in college... we did wear jean shorts. I mean, they were huge.
Jean shorts were in when I was a kid.
Yes.
I mean, no one made fun of them when I was a kid in elementary school. Everyone wore their jean shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, junior high school age, it's uncool. You can't wear jean shorts. I used to wear them to work because I get dirty.
Yeah.
I worked at a nursery when I was in high school. So
it was the 80s.
I'd wear them, and then one guy gave me heck over it, and I was like, no, I'm repping these jean shorts. I'm going to rep them. See, if you wear them loud and proud, you can't argue with it.
Well, then if they had a little bit of a hole in it, and then you kind of rolled it up on the end, and you wore the weave belt back in the 80s.
Weave belt?
Yeah, baby.
What's a weave belt?
The weave belt, and it would hang down your thigh, the weave belt. Oh, yeah.
I got to Google this right now.
You do.
Weave belt.
Google the weave belt. Listen, these guys out there in the 80s know exactly what I'm talking about. And then the jeans, you rolled at the bottom, too.
You rolled up your jeans?
You rolled up your jeans into a tight, not a roll like they roll now. It was a tight roll. I'll show you sometime. I'll bring you back to the 80s.
I need some photographic evidence of this.
You rolled up your jeans like the greasers in the 50s or something?
You took the bottom and strung it out as tight as you could and then brought that in and then rolled it, pinched it together like two rolls. Oh, yeah, because you wore the boots. I'm telling you, people out there now are laughing because they're like, heck yes, we did that.
The girls went crazy for it then.
See, the shorts weren't enough back in the 80s. In the 80s, you had to make a bold statement.
Whenever you wore clothes,
it wasn't just the jorts. You had to roll them up at the bottom. And that belt, I got to see this weave belt.
Did you ever have a fanny pack with
these
jeans?
No, I did not. Okay. I did not do the fanny pack. But they also had like a belt you could buy. There was like, I think they had like a Mexican belt or something. It was different colors, and it would hang as well. But that's what we did, man. That was us.
Hey, you wore it proud. You wore it proud.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, we talked a lot of Cubs-Cardinals rivalry right there. If you want jean shorts, you can talk about that, too. But what are your favorite memories of this Cardinals-Cubs rivalry? Is it still as intense as it was since you remember? 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
I've got some stats and stuff to talk about that Cubs-Cards. Let's do that next. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Lante, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter. It's the Tay and Jay Show. It is 420. No, wait. 421. That's what it is. It is, what is it, May 10th, 5/10/2011. Give us a call, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. We had Adam Rittenberg on in the 3 o'clock hour talking about some Big Ten football, the fact that Pat Fitzgerald just signed through 3,040 or something like that. And then we had Mark Silverman from ESPN 1000 talking about some Cubs, Cardinals, and some Bulls. So, listen, I know there's tons of Cubs fans out there and tons of Cardinals fans, and we hear from Cardinals fans a lot. I want it. Come on, bring it on, Cubs.
Yeah.
I want to hear from some Cubs fans right now. Tell me, I want to know what your favorite memory is, some of your favorite memories of the Cubs-Cardinals. I'll never forget the Ryne Sandberg Day. They call it the Sandberg Day, June 23rd, 1984. Homered in the 9th to tie it against Suter. Homered in the 10th to tie it against Suter. The Cubs won it in the 11th. Willie McGee hit for the cycle that day, and nobody remembers that. And I think a guy by the name of, like, Dave Owen had the game-winning hit for the Cubs. But I'll never forget that day, and I would have been 84, would have been like 13 or 14 years old.
And this rivalry's had its peaks. You know, 98, that home run chase, 03, yes, that divisional race where the Cubs ended up winning that one. But I think since 2006, when the Cardinals won, and since then, these two have gone different directions. The Cubs won in 2007, the division, of course. But ever since then, it seems like it's died off a little bit. And some people on Twitter, St. Louis Cardinals fans, told me, you know, this isn't a rivalry anymore. This is more just a competition, not that big of a deal. We like each other. Do you really like each other, Cardinals and Cubs fans? Is this a friendship?
No.
359 call, 217-359-2255.
I've got a couple of buddies. One texted me about a Cardinals memory when Kerry Robinson hit a walk-off home run. I'll never forget that. I think that was a Sunday night game.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Robinson, of course, is a St. Louis kid, but I also had a couple that texted me about the 80s, all right, because you guys were ripping on my 80s. My buddy from Villa Grove, Kerry Chute.
I wasn't ripping on it. We weren't on it.
Oh, okay.
We
I thought you were ripping. You were enjoying it. He said, I could tight roll with the best. That's what it was called, the tight roll. And then George LaFay, parachute pants.
I MC forgot Hammer. About the parachute pants. That was more early 90s.
That was early 90s. Yeah, that was kind of 90s. But we took the tight roll effect into the 90s because I was 88 to 92 in college, so I had to take that into the 90s.
The tight roll with the jean shorts. At least, hey, he's repping it. And, you know, exactly. He's owning it, and that's the key. You can't go in there with your head down with jean shorts rolled up.
Yep.
Right? you got to sit there loud and proud with them.
So I got two Cubs and Cardinals memories, actually.
Yes.
Pretty different, very different in tone. One of them was just last year. I went to a Cubs-Cardinals game over Memorial Day weekend up at Wrigley and saw Albert Pujols hit three home runs.
Nice.
Which was very cool. And that game was that game was a harbinger of things to come for that Cubs team, which was just awful last year. And then another one, I guess, would have been 2000. It was a Friday afternoon game. And we went down for batting practice, and my buddy got Daryl Kyle's autograph.
Ooh.
And the next day, I'm with my parents at home watching Fox Saturday afternoon, getting ready for the game. Just it was on. And then Joe Girardi comes out to make the announcement.
2002.
Yep. There you go. Yep. So two very different in tone. But, wow. Yeah, I don't think those teams will ever like each other. But I even see with the Yankees and Red Sox, there's not as much of a hatred, per se.
Right. I don't think there is. I agree with that. Yeah, the 2002 with Daryl Kyle. Joe Girardi, who played for both the Cardinals and the Cubs, I'll never forget that. My brother had a ticket for that game and couldn't figure out what was going on because it was delayed like 30 or 40 minutes. And then both teams came out on the field, I think, or just the Cubs. I have to rehash my memory there. But Joe Girardi made the announcement that Daryl Kyle had passed away in his hotel room the night before.
Yeah, that's just a sad day for baseball, sad day for sports in general. A really good pitcher was, you know, coming back up in his career again and passed away. And it was just a sad thing for everybody involved.
And Jack Buck died not long after that because my wife and I were on vacation in Texas. And on the way home, we went by Busch Stadium to see the memorials for both Daryl Kyle and Jack Buck. That was a hard one for me, Jack Buck. And I've said that 100 times. He was a mentor to me and a guy that meant a lot to even what I'm doing today. He was the reason I wanted to get into the media business. We're going to the phones. We got, hey, this guy is still around.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a while.
We haven't heard from him in a while. It's Bart from Oakwood. Bart, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How's it going, guys?
Not too bad.
Hey, I'm still alive. I've been listening every day, though.
I appreciate that.
Hey, I got a memory for you.
Okay.
It was 04. Zambrano was pitching. I remember distinctly because my son Lucas was a month old. We just bought our new house in Oakwood, my wife and I, and we're sitting in lawn chairs with my dad and in the living room, no furniture. Had to have the cable hooked up because Cardinals series was on. And anyway, Zambrano is setting the Cardinals down left and right. And then, I don't know if you guys remember this one, but he just goes nuts and he starts beating Edmund.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
And my dad is a Cubs fan. He was dropped on his head when he was young. But,
of course, he wasn't in jean shorts that night, though.
No. And I tell you what, you were talking about the jeans being rolled up.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling. but anyway, my dad's going nuts. And he's like, this guy's an idiot. What is he doing? And the next thing you know, the Cardinals come back and just thump him bad. And it was all because he lost his head and did that, and I'll never forget it.
And I think Edmonds took one deep on the Waveland, didn't he? Or Sheffield. Which one's in right? I forget all the time.
Sheffield.
But I think Edmonds that same game took one deep. And I remember that game. I'm almost positive Edmonds homered that game, and the Cardinals came back to win it.
Yeah, I think you're right, man.
That is great.
So Bart, obviously the rivalry is alive in your family, but do you get a sense that this rivalry is still pretty heated? I mean, we've had some people say that this is not as intense as it has been for a while.
I tell you what, I think it all depends on the people. I've got some buddies that are obviously, you know, big Cub fans and stuff, and it all depends on how the Cubs are doing. I mean, if they're out of it, I mean, the Cubs fans are just like, yeah, whatever anymore. But if they're in it, I mean, it immediately gets intense. I mean, the Cardinals fans start giving them some crap, and they give it right back, and it's right there. So I think it's there. It's just a matter of how the Cubs are doing.
I agree. And I mean, we're, you know, in Villa Grove and that area, Philo, et cetera, I mean, there's so many Cubs Cardinals that it doesn't matter who's in and who is out. If the Cubs are out of it and they beat the Cardinals, I hear it from every Cubs fan. And vice versa. I try to let every Cubs fan know if the Cardinals are even out of it. I try to let them know if we beat them. So, and now I've got this radio station where I can really do it. But I'm scared to death of this series. Bart, thanks for calling, my man.
All right. Later,
all right,
guys.
Buddy. So we want to hear from you. What are your memories of the Cubs-Cardinals?
Well, come on. We're right in exactly where this rivalry should be. I mean, is this intense here in Champaign-Urbana? We're 2.5 hours away from St. Louis, 2.5 hours away from Chicago. How intense is this for you guys? 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. We want your stories.
And it's hard to believe, Bart, because you had a dad that's a Cubs fan and a son that's a Cardinals fan. That's tricky. Yeah. I know in my family, I had one grandpa that was a Cubs fan, one grandpa a Cardinals fan. Not sure why the one grandpa won out, but I became a Cardinals fan. And I've told that the other day. I always joke with my mom about that. It was my mom's dad that was the Cubs fan. I always said, kind of glad that grandpa didn't make me a Cubs fan. I'm not going to lie to you. But let's hear from you. 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. It is the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5,
95.3. Connect FM.
Show 93.5 95.3 the new Connect FM. It is Lante, Jeremy Warner,
hey,
Mike Carpenter in the house, and we're talking a little Cubs Cardinals rivalry. They kick it off tonight. Don't forget Cubs Cardinals. Of course you can't forget. Live from Chicago, you can hear it right here loud and clear. 6:10 is the pregame, 7:05 the first pitch on 93.5 95.3 the new Connect FM.
Feels good to talk some baseball, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. I love baseball,
and the weather's right. But still, I mean, this Cardinals-Cubs rivalry, is it still intense? I mean, Cubs, last couple of years, kind of gone downhill, and the Cardinals have kind of owned it recently. 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. We're hitting the phone lines now with Alan in St. Joe. What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, I listened on the way home, and I thought I'd chime in a little bit. I think the rivalry definitely is alive and well, but it seems like when you get outside of the Central Illinois area, you get isolated Cubs fans or isolated Cardinal fans, then it doesn't seem quite as intense. But I grew up around here, and my family's been mixed Cubs-Cardinals my whole life. And fortunately, I got on the Cardinal side, on the good side of the rivalry. But, yeah, it burns deep, and I got a 9-month-old baby, and my wife likes to dress him in Cubs clothes.
Oh, wife is a Cubs fan.
Wow.
She is, yeah.
That is tricky.
And I'm not sure she could tell us three players on the Cubs, but it sure does make her happy when
I'm not getting involved in this.
And get excited about seeing him in a Cubs outfit because I don't get to dress him every day.
Alan, how many years have you been married?
Over 7.
So how have you made that work for so long with Cardinals and Cubs in the same household?
Well, I've tried to convert her, but her family is all Cubs fans, so it hasn't worked out real well. But I'm a Bears fan also.
Don't tell me she's a Packers fan.
No, not at all. That would never work out. No. But so I tell her that the kid can have the Bears and the Bulls, but you got to leave me the Cardinals because we got to teach him to be a winner. No.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Alan, hey, take some control there and get that kid dressed in some Cardinal red. How about that?
Oh, he'll have it on tonight for sure. Don't you worry.
Alan, we appreciate the call, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. All right,
thank you. I'll tell you right now, and I mean this. If you don't think this rivalry's going and you're a Cub or a Cardinal fan, just wait till first pitch tonight. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes is I'm like, ooh, we're playing the Cubs. It's time to win a game.
This poor kid's going to have an identity crisis growing up.
You just wonder. Don't put an Albert Pujols shirt on him or anything. Because what if that's not good next year?
As long as he doesn't become one of the guys that does the half and half jerseys. They buy two jerseys, stitch them together. Just pick a team. I'm sure when he's older, he will.
I'm a White Sox fan. I went to a Cubs Cardinals game, and I got a story about that. I was just naive about this. But we want to hear your stories first. 359 call 217-359-2255. Going to the phone lines now with Tony in Champaign. How are you today, Tony?
Okay. You good?
Doing well.
Hey, there was a game, I want to say back in 04-05 in St. Louis there. Cardinals was down 9-6, bottom of the ninth. And I cannot remember who hit it, but a Cardinal hit a game-winning grand slam.
You know what? I can't remember either, but I remember it happening. That's right.
And
you know what?
Remember right too. After that game, we just took off. We took off. No, and just hit from the entire league.
I'm trying to think. Was that the catcher, the backup catcher behind Yadi Molina that hit the grand slam, Gary Bennett?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah,
I'm trying. Either he hit that home run, or he had a two home run game, or something against the Cubs. I remember that may have been it. That's right. Isn't it funny though how you can remember things from 5-6 years ago like it was yesterday in this series?
I know, but as for this series being so now, tell my wife that she is a huge Cubs fan.
The ladies are tending towards the Cubs here, it seems like.
Well, I mean, come on. but I'm a Cardinal fan through and through.
Awesome. Tony, thanks go.
Nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we all have our faults. Thanks, Tony.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. That's funny. And I mean that, how you can remember something that happened.
I'm wondering why the ladies are tending towards the Cubs fans right now.
I think this is just...
Is it because they like to nurture? They have a nurturing factor? Guys want a winner.
Maybe.
And I'm not saying ladies don't, but guys are really competitive from birth. And girls like to nurture, but the lovable loser, does that work into it? I don't know.
There may be something in this females liking the Cubs more, because I will say... I don't find Yankee girls that attractive. White Sox, least on to be desired. But I will say, any day you turn on WGN or go to Wrigley Field, there are some women.
Out in force.
They may not know a thing about what's going on, that's okay. So I got to say, yes, there might be something to this.
Hey, us Sox and Cardinals fans, we like our girls in jean shorts, all right? That's the way we like it.
Listen to you.
All right, we got to hit a break.
Guys are cruel.
We want to hear your calls. 359 call 217-359-2255.
We'll do that next. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.